Okay, gentlemen, we are learning Simon Tov Kuf Lamed and Dine Kibbutz B'Chol HaMoed. Halachas of Kibbutz, washing clothes, laundry on Chol HaMoed. That's an interesting one. So, Ein Mechapsim B'Moed, the principle of Halachas, we're not allowed to do Kibbutz on Chol HaMoed. No washing permitted on Chol HaMoed. Yeah, is that what you all... Yeah, we don't wash clothes on Chol HaMoed. Tov Kuf Lamed Aleph, yeah? Oh, we'll get to children's clothes. It will be an exception, we'll discuss it. There's the following few exceptions. Shulchan Aruch starts with the following exceptions to the rule. Somebody comes from a foreign, from a distant country. Somebody who is released from capture. Somebody who is released from prison. Somebody who was in cherem. Somebody was in cherem, was not allowed to wash his clothes, but now he's been released from the cherem. He's allowed to wash his clothes on Chol HaMoed. Mishanoda, somebody made a neder, shlelechabes, somebody who made a neder not to wash his clothes. Venishal, beregel, and his neder was cancelled and annulled during Chol HaMoed, he's now allowed to wash his clothes. V'tirlo, umitpoch, so where do we know those exceptions from? Did we ever encounter them? Those very exceptions. Of course, we had them. When do we have them? Is it all the same exceptions with regards to? Haircuts, that's right. These are the exceptions to the haircut issa on Chol HaMoed. Same ones. But now there's an additional exception, which is the following. Mitpochos hayodaim, the one who is, mitpochos hayodaim is a hand towels, are permitted to be washed on Chol HaMoed. Mitpoches HaSaporim, and this is the towels HaSaporim. Now, Saporim literally means the barbers. So if somebody has a bit of a trim, a bit of a cut, in a permitted way, he'd be allowed to have the towels needed as well. Mitpoches HaSfog, also shmatas that you need for absorbing any liquid which is bothering, such as under the next to the bathhouse, Mishtabur says. These are all towels which may be washed. I will not forget to mention at this point really very quickly the Mishtabur in the bottom line in Sivkotin's Vav, who says that with regards to the towels there is a chumra not to wash the towels. Taste such a chumra, but make a din. Shulchan Aruch explicitly it's permitted. Continues the Shulchan Aruch last word of this page. Uvigdei ktanim. This is what you mentioned. Children's clothes may be washed on Chol HaMoed. Children's clothes are allowed to be. There's a lot of discussion about that, and we will get to it. But for now, what we're seeing is that children's clothes is permitted to be washed. Uvalas hakesem shenim tzo b'moed. Valas hakesem is a lady who's spotting, so that would be allowed to be washed as well. Umisha Elo Elo Choluk Echot, and somebody's got only one clothes. Choluk Echot, somebody's got one garment, he's allowed to wash that garment as well on Chol HaMoed. The Kulam, and all of those, Mechapsin Kedakon, all of those can be washed in a regular way. Which means even with soaps, perish mini borios, ubefahesia, even in public domain, al gabeno, on the river. So Rabbeisai, let's get clear. So we're seeing now there's a halacha that one is not allowed to wash one's clothes, excluding the examples of a year of a cherem, somebody comes from a foreign country, towels, children's clothes. Somebody's got one piece of clothes. Why? Why is it also? Why are you not allowed to wash clothes?
Well, one will become distracted from the simcha of the chag.
Distraction of the simcha of the chag, which is a bit like what you're comparing to the 9 days. Over there, it's Hezachadaz of Avelus. The reason is a little bit different. And Shlomo says in Sefkot Aleph, what is the reason why we're not allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed clothing? Ein mechapsim b'moed. Afilu tzorich hamoed. In this case, even if you're washing for the tzeirich hamoed, even if it's washing for the purpose of Yom Tov, you need fresh clothes, whatever, it's going to be also. At time, the reason is, kedei in order sheichab is merev Yom Tov, they should wash, to encourage people to wash before Yom Tov, letzeirich Yom Tov, for the first days of Yom Tov. Velo yikones lemoed, kshemenuvel, and he will not enter, Yom Tov, kshemenuvel, with dirty clothes. So that's very much similar to what? Exactly the same haircut. Just like by haircut we found that we're not allowed to have haircuts on Chol HaMoed to encourage to have the haircuts before Yom Tov. Similarly over here also, we're not allowing people to do the washing on Chol HaMoed to encourage people to do the washing before Yom Tov.
I thought you could wash, let's say, shirts for, let's say, the first day Yom Tov, if you wear the shirts, nice white shirts, and you need to be washed for the second lot.
So why would that be based on what we've seen? Let's see the Ramah and then discuss it at that stage. What will be the heads up? Says the Ramah, and I'm up to page number 10. Miu says the Ramah, lo yichapsu rag atzorich lahen. If you're washing, you should only do what you need it. What you need. Dehainu cholok echot, i.e. one piece of garment. So, say somebody's come from abroad. Say somebody's got only one garment. Say somebody needs towels. Only allowed to do one. Miu, however. Big day aktani b'yos, when it comes to very small children, i.e. babies. Dehainu oison, meaning oison shemilafin bohem, those babies who make their clothes constantly dirty, this was the days before there was nappies, so obviously it gets very dirty. You're allowed to wash above achas, you're allowed to wash 4 or 5 of those clothing items for the babies, 4 or 5 in one go, because you require the haba mehem, you need the whole time, you need loads of those, they need to be changed all the time, their clothes. Therefore, for babies, you're allowed to wash more than one. For all the mutalechabes befaesia, that we said you're allowed to publicly wash it. Hanulav kishurech slgabeno, that's with regards to the river. By the river, mishmishim ischabes yoisa yofel gabeno. By the river, clothes tends to get a lot cleaner. Havari meinu chopsol gabeno, but if you're not washing it by the river, lo yichabes like betzina, you should only do it in private, lo befaesia, not publicly nirali. Rabbi, very interesting halacha here. We're learning that you are allowed to wash clothing only in the following instances. If you come from far away, if you need towels desperately, if a person was in Cherem, if a person has got only one piece of garment, then he's allowed to. And similarly, babies as well, you're allowed to do a lot of that. If you're allowed, you're allowed to do it even in public. So, what is... The reason is because we want to encourage people to do the washing before Yom Tov as opposed to Melech Chol HaMoed. There is a discussion in the Achronim, in the contemporary Poskim. What about a washing machine? Remember, washing in the time of Shulchan Aruch, what did it look like? Of course, scrubbing until your hands... And it was a lot of work. You tanked them all day. It would take the women a whole day to do what? You know, there was a Yom HaKvisah, the day of the it would take them the whole day. So, it was a lot of hard work. And you want to encourage people to do it all before Yom Tov, so they don't have to do Chol HaMoed. Question is there nowadays that all you do is literally a... That's all it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you may need to do that adjustment. Most times, no. So
powder.
Not even nowadays. You can just buy those things, and you see. Yeah. So it's very minor compared to the kvisa of the Shulchan Aruch. The washing of Shulchan Aruch looked very different than nowadays. Let us not forget. The question, therefore, is a very, very true question and a very real question. If we forbid kvisa, then does that necessarily mean that kvisa nowadays on Chol HaMoed is also too? It's so substantially different. You can't even compare. What do you think? Same or different?
The premise still stays that you should only be doing, do something you could have done earlier.
Very good. So that's what the Bishlam Zaman says. So Bishlam Zaman says exactly what you're saying. So Bishlam Zaman says, there is, one second here, let's get this straight, says the Bishlam Zaman. It's not written in Sefer, but it's quoted. Is it that, one second here, why is it also again to do washing and chalamet? Why is it also? Well, we want to encourage people to wash beforehand. He says, well, does that apply nowadays or not? It sure does. It sure does want to encourage people to wash beforehand, so it doesn't make a difference that it's... On the contrary, one could argue, it doesn't argue, but I think one could argue, even more so nowadays. Today you'd be more inclined to just leave it for Chalam. All it is, it's a button and finished, you know. So even more so, we want to encourage people to do it before... So since we want people to be not maneuvered on Chalam, the whole idea is we want people to have fresh clothes on Yom Tov, and you should have fresh clothes and chalam. We want people to be freshly dressed and everything. So sure, therefore, Chachamim forbade washing and chalamot, and that needs a bit of encouragement. We want to encourage people to wash before Yom. So that surely still applies. Therefore, Bishlam Zaman says the fact that all it is just pressing a button won't make any difference, and therefore it's still also to wash. I don't know if there's any chalkim. There could be there's some chalkim, but I think the swell of Bishlam Zaman makes a lot of sense. An interesting question, and I did check with my wife that very point. What about the poets can speak about if there is a stain that if you don't see to the stain immediately, the garment will get ruined? So I asked my wife what kind of stains it is, and she told me which stains don't go off. Oh yeah. So my wife said that fruit stains generally don't go off unless you see to them straight away. Any fruit, because of the acidity substance, that if you see to them straight away, you know, you take a bit of water and you rub it off and it's fine, it's off, you know, the trousers, it's fine. But if you leave it until after Yom Tov, after the second days, it is likely to stay there, some part of it, it will stay there for good. The question therefore is, would you be allowed to wash that kind of stain, grape juice, a good example, or any other juice or stain, fruit stain, any other stain, if you wouldn't see to it straight away, it would, to some extent, remain long term. Can you see to that on Yom Tov or not? All you're doing is, you wash... Exactly. Shem Zaman says, of course you're allowed, so that's the head of Tov Ovid. Tov Ovid is something that if you don't, you will lose that item. It's gonna get lost. You're gonna lose this, the value of this, and therefore, in such a case, it's Tov Ovid, and therefore it's permitted.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Sorry, can you just explain again the spoiler of Shlomo Zalman going back to the laundry before the actual stain?
Yeah, the laundry nowadays is not different according to Shlomo Zalman, because the starting point of this issa is the encouragement that we want to encourage people to do their washing before Yom Tov, that it should be clean and it should be fully equipped and dressed appropriately for Yom Tov. Therefore, Chachamim said, okay, we're not allowing you to do any washing on Chol HaMoed, because we want to encourage people to do washing before Yom Tov. That surely still applies even nowadays, that the washing is much simpler. Would that make sense?
Okay. It makes sense. So the fact is that washing builds up. So after you know, you've got a family of five, say, you know, there's a lot of washing to do. And after a week, you know, before you go into the next Shabbat, to the next Yom Tov, it usually becomes quite difficult in terms of, do you have enough clothes for the remaining Yom Tov days?
So I agree. And that could be, that goes within the category of Choluk Echad. Somebody only got one cloth. Somebody's got one cloth. What does that mean? Somebody's got only one piece of clothing. What does that mean? It means he needs it. He needs it to be washed. So that could probably potentially be categorized in that category. Okay, who will be discussing in this greater detail? I'm leaving the mic now for Choshva speaker this this week. Russell, we're looking forward to your Dvar Torah. Oh, hello.
Little Nacht. Who have I got here?
Hi. Hi, how are you?
I'm not very well prepared.
You're the Divrei Torah, are you?
Not very well prepared. No Divrei Torah. So let's just pack up and go.
Anyone who doesn't have to zoom out.
So there's three things. There's the Mishnah Berurah we learned this week. There's the fact we've got a Tinus, Esa B'Tavis, and there's Parshas Vayigash. I was going to say it one particular way, but I'm going to say it the back way around. From the Tinus, we can say many things about Esa B'Tavis, but the what happened with Nebuchadnezzar and breaching the walls led to a chain of the siege of Jerusalem, which began the whole chain of calamities, which resulted in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So you've got the theme of chains of one thing leading to the next, and then ultimately a bad outcome, which hopefully would lead to eventually a good outcome. Because although they say that every dor that we have where we don't rebuild the Beis Hamikdash is like we destroyed it, but obviously we don't know how long it's going to be till we get to rebuild the next Beis Hamikdash. But at least if we're one generation closer to rebuilding the next Beis Hamikdash, and if we keep doing teshuvah and keep doing the right things, we can move back in the right direction. So that's the chain of calamities which led to the Beis Hamikdash. So that's a sad thing. But back into Parshas Vayigash, there's a pasuk in Sheni, which starts with V'chachalti Yisachar Sham, and there I'm going to provide for you. So Yosef is revealed himself to his brothers for the first time. He's going to provide for you because there's going to be some years of famine. So Rabbi Hirsch says V'chalkel. V'chilchalti is double loshon. So why is it double loshon? The double chalal, which comes to include, because it really means mefarnes, but this word comes to include, envelop, and roll, because chalkel is linked in a grammatical sense to goylel. It's like a sister, a root. To goyla, which is to roll.
The kaf and the gimel.
Yeah, the kaf and the gimel parallel. And the roll and turning something around from its center point, which can be linked to a ball or a wheel, and from halal to form a periphery around a center point to an hour logic to include the whole measure of its innate powers in all directions. That's the chain, that's the link to the chain. And kol, which means whole, embraces everything. So kalkal, to cope with something completely, to in accordance with what it contains. Mi chalkal yom bo'ol, who can completely take all the days, all the day that's going to come, and fix the whole extent of the effects of the coming. So it means bigger picture. So that's why it uses that lashon, because the brothers, for one, the chain of hashgacha, what was happening for the first time was going to be. The hashgacha process of what was happening for the first time was being revealed. So that's why I use the word. That's why I use this word, because it means chain or whole, and the extent of him coming. But also to take to grant some the surrounding. Rav Hirsch says the grant the surrounding of what belongs to him, to provide for him is also meloshen chain kalkel content, because in order to understand where the source of your livelihood comes from, you have to really understand that everything comes from Hashem. Without that sort of hashgacha pratis aspect of it, you can't be from fondness, because it's not, you wouldn't realize where it's coming from. And then it goes on in other ways. There's quite a lot of arichas as to how Yosef then goes into how with his brothers goes into how everything is hashgacha pratis. So that's the link between Parshas Vayigash and Teves, Esa B'Tavis. How that links to Chilas Chol HaMoed, all I can think of is that in order for us to rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, we're going to have to do teshuva, and therefore the shaving is symbolic of Nikias and removing sort of negative things from our. Well, obviously not, that's not the Hasidic view of shaving or whatever, but maybe the washing as well. All of these things which we're trying to work out whether we can do a Chol HaMoed or not involve an element of cleansing or being metakein or fixing, and therefore therefore I can see perhaps teshuvah and tikkun in that which we need in order to be able to bring us back to the level we need to be on in order to be able to cleave to Hashem and rebuild the base of Mikdash.
Well done, man.